Welcome to Meet the Writers. This week on the show, we look at the business of books as we join 25,000 visitors from over 100 countries at the London Book Fair.
What you suddenly see is that there are 400 gazillion books in the world, and your book is one tiny little grain of sand on a beach.
This is about coming out of the cave, meeting our publishers around the world and getting them excited. This is business.
The bestsellers of next year are all born here at the book fair.
We'll hear from writers including Downton Abbey's creator Julian Fellowes, from international publishers, Turkish printers and Korean foreign rights experts, as well as Monocle's own publishing partner, Gestalten. One of the 1,500 exhibitors from over 60 countries is Julia Marshall of Gecko Press from New Zealand. And we've dragged her away from Olympia, where the book fair is currently on, to talk us through it here back in Studio One at Midori House. Julia, thanks so much for coming in. This is a long way from Wellington, so what's your first impression of the London Book Fair?
This was the first time I'd been to the London Book Fair in a while. It used to be at Earl's Court when I used to go, and I found it very fresh and open and slightly difficult to find my way around since I'm directionally challenged. But very vibrant and quite calm.
Let's listen to what Jax Thomas, who's the director of the London Book Fair, has to say about the event this year.
For the second year, it's in its home at Olympia, which is in West London, which for people who are listening is a very iconic building. It's a beautiful Victorian building, and the building in which we welcome the world, if you like, to London, which is also a creative capital of the world, of which publishing is a major player with a business of over sort of £7 billion. Publishing also in the UK enjoyed a 4% uplift last year, which was the first year that it's done that for a good few years. And in that 4% uplift, quite an interesting proportion of that came from children's books and young adult fiction, which shows that that sector is very, very healthy. The other interesting aspect to that statistic was a 27% increase in audiobooks, which three-fifths of which came from digital enablement. And so, you know, audiobooks are really sort of benefiting from a digital age, and also the fact that readers, book lovers, I think have absolutely settled down into being able to have a choice of the way in which they enjoy a book. So we have over 125 countries represented at the book fair, which is vast. We have the biggest rights centre out of any book fair in the world. And the London Book Fair, the business of the London Book Fair, is publishers from all of those countries getting together in very, very sort of hectic 30-minute appointments where they are selling translation rights to each other on books around the world. So the bestsellers of next year are all born here at the book fair. It's fascinating.
And is that because people are kind of spreading their risks? They're really sort of trying to diversify as much as possible and sell across as many territories as possible because perhaps of the threat of digital?
Publishers have always tried to get their books into as many languages as possible. I think it's not so much risk spreading as actually word spreading. So publishing is a very passionate industry. People are in publishing because they are passionate about books. And if you feel very strongly about a book, you want as many people in the world to be able to read it. And translation is a really hot topic at the book fair. We have a literary translation centre with back-to-back programming with people talking about the business of translation, because to be able to capture an author's voice in a different language is a real skill.
Now, there seem to be a lot more countries here than there were last year, some new countries, Nigeria, Malaysia, various others.
Indonesia, Malta. And Russia is back here again, which the Russians have the most fantastic cultural heritage and are passionate about books. It's great to see those countries here. Books really open doors. They give you a window into other people's lives and worlds and really help us understand the world better. So it is great to have as many countries as possible here.
Walking around, it's absolutely vast. But I was wondering, in terms of visitor numbers and business done, as well as square footage, how it would compare with Frankfurt or perhaps Guadalajara?
Frankfurt is the biggest and the oldest business-to-business book fair, but it is also open to the public at the weekend. So it is very much a national institution. It's a very important book fair. I love attending Frankfurt Book Fair. It is different from our book fair. Ours is very much a rights trading fair, and it is uniquely business-to-business.
If you had to sum up, finally, just how this year is so far for you, what would you say?
I have to say that this year's book fair, I feel quite self-indulgent because I have selected the authors of the day very much with my reading bookshelf in mind. I'll be perfectly honest. I love Marianne Key's books. I think she has the most fantastic storytelling voice. I think I'm kind of there with her whenever I read her books. I'm in that kitchen I know those characters. I think she's fantastic. And she's just sitting across the room from us just now, and that's a treat. We've had Julian Fellowes in here. I mean, who doesn't love Julian Fellowes and the genius that he is with Downton Abbey, one of the biggest British exports for the creative industries in the last 10 years. But then we've got Shakespeare. If you haven't read Shylock Is My Name by Howard Jacobson yet, I thoroughly commend it. It's fantastic. And we've got this Globe Theatre with all of these actors doing everything in different languages, which is also a wonderful illustration of what the book fair is about. And then last but by no means least, it's another personal favourite, is Judith Kerr, Mog, the tiger who came to tea. Oh my goodness, how often did I, well, the pleasure that my children got, how often did I read that book to them? The whole series of Mog, etc. And so I rather stalked Judith until I got her to agree to come.
That was Jax Thomas, the director of the London Book Fair, and we'll hear from Julian Fellowes later in the show, as well as various other authors. Now, one of the authors she mentioned is Judith Kerr, who is, I think, possibly my favourite author in the world. She wrote When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit, as well as The Tiger Who Came to Tea and all the Mog books. She's a wonderful children's author. And back to Julia Marshall, who's here in the studio with me, because Gecko Press publishes exclusively for children.
Yes, we do. We publish about 20 children's books every year, and we choose the best books in the world from writers and illustrators from France, from Germany, from Scandinavia, from Japan, from Poland, and we translate those and produce them in English and sell them back out into UK, Australia, New Zealand and America.
So, I mean, that's quite unusual, isn't it? Because you're quite a small company based in Wellington, and yet you have this worldwide presence.
It is unusual for a company to publish books in translation. When I started 10 years ago, I think that 1% of the books published in the UK came from outside the country. And when I said that to the Swedish publisher of Margaret Mahe, New Zealand's writer, he said, "I'm surprised that figure is so high." And I think it's gone up a bit.
Well, it's important to be bold and ambitious, isn't it, in the world of publishing? And that's exactly what Lisa Milton from Harlequin said, one of the world's leading publishers. She told us that she was very happy to be at the fair and actually how she was rebranding completely in a bold move. She says, "We're not arrogant, we just want to be really good publishers. Bold is good." I then asked her about the value of the fair.
I'm actually really lucky because I preempted a hot book last week, which means I have acquired one of the hottest books of the fair before the fair starts, which is wonderful. So I have acquired a serial killer thriller police procedural. I mean, how many words can you put in one sentence? But it's two novels almost, and they're both brilliant, the police procedural and the serial killer, called The Fourth Monkey by an American debut called J.D. Barker, and it is phenomenally good. And now, here at the fair, it's being acquired in lots of other territories and countries, and I think the US has just been announced, they've acquired it, and so actually it's really buzzy. All the scouts are talking about it, everyone's asking me about it, I'm thrilled.
So in terms of exactly what you do at a fair like this, you would then be trying to sell rights to properties you already own and also to buy books straight from agents.
Absolutely. Well, there are two things. So the rights and the sales teams are here for all the major publishers who are selling, as you say. So selling the rights that we've acquired as editorial across all the companies that we want to sell in other territories. And the acquiring editors and publishers are here to try and find the next big thing and to acquire from agents, to talk to scouts, but also, I think, really importantly, to meet European and US colleagues. So at London, it's a really great hub where you've got so many people that you would only normally talk to on the telephone or email, where you can actually sit down, even if it's only for 30 minutes, and just get a catch up on where their market is, what's working, and actually we're a people business. And so establishing those new contacts, maintaining those contacts you already have, just meeting people you like to share your stories about books is really important.
And that was Lisa Milton from Harlequin, now rebranded as HQ. Now, of course, that company based here in the United Kingdom, but let's hear from some publishers from other parts of the world. We'll be in Germany and also in Nigeria.
My name's Emma Sharecliffe and I'm a co-director of Cassava Republic Press in the UK.
Bibi Bakari Yusuf,
co-founder of Cassava Republic Press.
So what's extraordinary about Cassava Republic Press is that this is a Nigerian publishing house, done extremely well in Nigeria, set up, I think, in 2006. And you've now exported that entire business model here and opened a branch in the UK, which is the opposite way to the way that publishing normally works. And a hugely bold move. Bibi, why did you do it?
Because we wanted African writing to go global and for Africans to be able to converse with each other from the UK, because UK is the center of the empire and is also the center of African knowledge dissemination. So it's apt that we come here to do what we need to do and to speak to the world and to basically present African writing with confidence and audaciousness and vibrancy.
So we've met you here at the London Book Fair, and you and Emma are sitting here basically running the company from your laptops. Emma, tell us, what is the value of a fair like this to a small company like yours? What do you hope to achieve at the London Book Fair?
So it's a mixture of things for us. Meeting with our key customers and distributors, trying to find new customers and distributors. So, for example, we are trying to crack what we'll do in the US. And for a small company like us, it's a big decision about whether to go with a distributor or to try to do individual right sales. We're also meeting with suppliers. You know, as you say, we're a small company. There's a two of us. So everybody from printers to designers. Yeah, I mean, it's really useful to have this space.
So the whole kind of supply chain is represented here.
Absolutely, yeah. And for us, you know, I met this morning with a printer from Hong Kong who I'd been in touch with by email, but, you know, so much easier to be here and feel the paper that she'd been suggesting to me over email. So, absolutely. I mean, it's an experience for lots of people, but I think for us, when it's just the two of us, it's particularly valuable.
My name is Katrina, and I work for Gestalten, and we are the publishing partner of Monocle. We come here every year to London Book Fair to showcase our books to an international community. Many people from Asia come here to talk about our books and also distribution opportunities and possibilities, which we don't have so often at Frankfurt Book Fair.
I notice on the shelves behind us very handsome volumes, How to Make a Nation, The Monocle Guide to Cozy Homes, and so on. Of course, all of our guidebooks you've got here. What have people's reactions been to this lovely partnership and to these Monocle books that you now carry?
Yeah, it's very good that you're asking this question, because there's actually lots of people are approaching us because of our partnership with Monocle. And obviously Monocle is a very strong brand in the UK, which is why these books really work for us super well. And I think the good thing is also the feedback that we get here is that Gestalten and Monocle really have a great brand partnership, and they try to really leverage their brand reach with this cooperation, with this collaboration, and through the books.
Foreign rights, of course, is another very big area of business at the London Book Fair.
My name is Jennifer An, and I work in the rights department at Osborne Publishing. So I sell translation rights to Asian countries, but also I look after our Korean program. We've been publishing our other titles to other European languages, like Edition Osborne, Edizioni Osborne, and Ediciones Osborne. But then gradually we decided to be interested in Asian market, because for a long time Korea has been our excellent rights customer. We sold a lot of our books to Korea, so we thought there were huge readerships of our books in Korea. So I guess naturally we were interested in not just selling the rights, but doing this ourselves.
So, of course, there's this, the London Book Fair, there's Guadalajara in Mexico, there's Frankfurt. What would be the comparable occasion in Asia?
There is a Beijing Book Fair in August, and I think that is the biggest rights fair in Asia. All other Asian publishers, as well as a lot of UK and European American publishers, are going there for the rights meetings. And in November in Shanghai in China, there is a Shanghai Children's Book Fair, which only started 2 years ago, I think. And the Chinese government is really trying to build it up as equivalent as Asian Bologna Book Fair. So I think it is getting a lot of attention. But other than that, obviously Korea has a Seoul Book Fair, Japan has Tokyo Book Fair, Taiwan has Taipei Book Fair, but I don't think they are as international as Beijing or Shanghai Book Fair.
So from publishing houses and foreign rights to printing.
My name is Halime Mesut Türkbay. I came from Turkey. I work for Özlem Printing Company in Istanbul. Until now we worked local in Turkey, and now we are trying to find international markets. And this year we will attend to new book fairs in US. We went to Paris and now we are in London.
What would be the advantage to an international company to print in Turkey? Is it that you can give very good rates, or why would a British company choose to print in Istanbul, for instance?
In Istanbul or in Turkey, people can find good quality in a good price. You know, most of people in UK, they worked with China, and we think China can not produce a good quality all the time. So we can give good service, good price, and cheaper also.
And what has the reaction been like so far from the international fairs that you've been to? Are people interested in printing in Turkey?
Yes, but I think it's not enough.
We're back in the studio now with my guest Julia Marshall, who is a publisher from New Zealand. She runs Gecko Press, which is a children's publishing house. And she's here, obviously, in the UK for the London Book Fair. Julia, what's the New Zealand landscape like in terms of the publishing industry?
It's growing. I think that we were one of the few countries to show a 7% growth last year, particularly strong in children's books, which is the same across the Western markets.
And in terms of homegrown imprints, are there many?
At the moment, we have a very strong independent run. We're shifting with the larger publishers, and then there's strong new independent publishers all setting up. I think our book trade has come out the end of that black hole that we all experienced, and I think it's pretty strong in New Zealand.
Now, what about digital? Because, of course, we're finding that the book industry is threatened or at least challenged in many places by the rise of digital. Is that the case in New Zealand?
We're finding that when we talk about digital, if we're talking about digital books, that seems to us that that's settled out now. The stratospheric growth in that area has plateaued, and teenagers have reported that they're going back to print. The main challenge, as I see it, is the necessity of keeping bookshops on the streets so that people aren't buying their physical books online. We need the books to be visible and available to touch, otherwise it's hard.
Now, one of the main themes at the London Book Fair was this issue of digital, and Julian Fellows, who's the creator of Downton Abbey, was one of the star guests at the fair, and he's launching a new app called Belgravia. I asked him to tell us all about it.
Well, this was an idea which Kirsty Dunseith at Orion brought to me, and that was to go more into the 19th century. It was more Dickens, Thackeray, those people who used to publish their books once a week in the literary journals of the day, and they would write one chapter and on it would go. And of course, because their books were very long, often the audience response would have an effect on how the novel then shaped and moved towards its conclusion. And she wanted to use that method of release, but couple it with a very up-to-date, very modern, very 21st century concept of the app, where you can go and ask it questions and meet the characters and go into the houses, you know, which I base the houses on, and all of that stuff. And it had never been done before in quite that way. And it seems to me that kind of serial narrative is quite appealing to this generation, certainly in television. The serial dramas have almost obliterated the TV movies of 20 years ago, because this ongoing relationship with characters, with a narrative, with a situation, seems to suit the modern psyche in some way. These things change, as you know, all the time, but it felt to me as if it was right for now.
You've written novels, you've written for television, you've written for cinema, and this, in a way, combines all of those genres. As a writer, what do you feel, what form do you feel you're writing in Belgravia?
Well, there's definitely a sense of television writing, because unlike a normal novel, each episode has to be a sort of standalone, because you're not going to get the next episode for another week, and so like a TV series. And so although you do obviously have ongoing elements in the story, because it's a book, but nevertheless, each episode has to be kind of standalone and be fun to read in itself. And that was really what I was aware of, that in that structure, which is closer to television, I was sort of serving both those two forms, really. As to whether or not I've managed it, you'll have to be the judge.
Now, it comes out weekly, but presumably it was all written at the same time.
Well, because I'm weak and feeble, I needed to have finished it before it began. I think someone who was sort of more robust and confident than I would be able to write it as it went on. But I can't do that. But I do admire it. You know, in these startup sites where you can go on as a new writer and write a serial story, I was talking to one of the editors of one of them this morning. I mean, that seems to me courage beyond almost anything I can imagine, where you just write chapter one and you really haven't written chapter two, never mind chapter 10. And so the whole story could go any which way. I'm agog with admiration.
I'm really interested in the market for this, in that you've got a group of people who will pay for content, and you've got a group of people who are used to downloading their reading material, and there's the sweet spot where those two meet. But your fan base is so huge and doesn't necessarily encompass those people. This has been billed as a revolution in storytelling, and I think that that is something that you are really going to be responsible for bringing to this new type of a way of consuming fiction that many of these people have never done before.
Well, I think that's true. And if they're anything like me, they'll need to have their adult children next to them, telling them how to do it. But by the same token, I can remember only a very few years ago when nobody could manage email. That seemed too frightening. Now, email is completely standard for great granny of 90. It holds no fears. And I do believe that these are all new methods of enjoying the written word, the narrative word. And very soon they will feel completely ordinary and we won't be sort of nervous of them. And I hope that Belgravia takes... I mean, you talk about my fan base. I'm incredibly flattered to think I have any fan base beyond my family. But even there, it's a bit dodgy. But I hope it helps them through that to become friendly with an appliance. Because once they've been friendly to my book, they can read anyone else's. And they can become happy reading a book in that way. And that seems a plus for them, to me, anyway.
That was Julian Fellowes. Now, Julia Marshall is still in the studio with me. She's from New Zealand. And in terms of the publishing scene in New Zealand, you've talked about the rise of independence and the fact that many of the big companies are represented there too. Would you say that your main market, people are buying books by particularly British or particularly American authors?
Gecko Press is unusual for that because we publish mostly authors from other countries.
And for you, what's the value then of coming to London Book Fair with your really international list?
Well, for London, I'm here to meet publishers. Because we're active in the UK, I'm here to meet journalists and people that are in our publishing landscape. And at a book fair, I like to have five things that happen that you could never have planned for. Those are sometimes the things that can be the strongest.
And what are they so far?
Well, it has been a chance dinner, a chance meeting with Klaus Pfluger from Anderson Press. That's always a treat. A meeting with the agent of one of our writers, which was very good. That makes three, doesn't it?
Well, that gives you room for a couple more
room,
to happen.
Room to move.
Julia Marshall is from Gecko Press, which is a children's publishing house from New Zealand. Well, one very notable children's author, although she's now writing for adults, is Meg Rosoff. She has just won a top children's book prize. It's the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award. I asked her how useful it was for awards in a writer's career.
You know, for some people, they win a huge prize and they never write again. I'm hoping, against hope, that that wouldn't happen to me. I try, more or less in my career, I try to ignore everything to the right and the left, and prizes and festivals and book sales and all that kind of stuff, and I try just to concentrate on what I have to do. It's sort of like keeping your eye on the ball. I'm sure there's a sports psychologist who would say, don't think about winning Wimbledon, just think about winning your point, and I guess that's kind of what I'm doing.
How much do you have to keep in mind the idea of building the brand Rosoff?
I hate thinking of writers as brands. I know more and more publishers are thinking about writers that way. But it's depressing. You know, I worked in advertising for 15 years and I'm not toothpaste. I'm a person and It is true that everything you do that gets you to be more known in the publishing world is a positive thing, but I just really resist thinking of myself as a brand.
I wonder how much the publicity machine that kicks in after you've written a book interferes with the creative process.
I quite like talking, and I like doing interviews and all that kind of stuff, and I like talking in front of crowds, so for me, I wouldn't say it interferes. Obviously, when you're doing a lot of that, you're not writing. But then, you know, in order to write, I need to be somewhere absolutely quiet and kind of clear, and I need a week where there's not too much going on, and then I can start to think. But, you know, I think I'm thinking all the time. I think no matter what I'm doing, I'm thinking. And then whenever you're out in the world, things spark into your brain. And so that kind of accumulates into the stuff that eventually becomes a book.
Finally, we're here at the book fair. As I said, events like this, how essential is this for a writer, one sees very few writers actually here?
Well, I think the reason you see so few writers at book fairs is that we all have panic attacks. And I went to Frankfurt one year and I nearly, you know, killed myself, because, you know, what you suddenly see is that there are 400 gazillion books in the world, and your book is one tiny little grain of sand on a beach. And I think, really, for the mental health of a writer, you don't want to spend too much time around all those books. It's different if you go to a library because you've got history. These are all books being published now, and it's just incredibly overwhelming. And it doesn't help to think about that. You know, it's back to win the point. Think about your book.
That was Meg Rosoff, the US writer based in London, best known for the novel How I Live Now. Well, let's hear now from another UK author. He's Peter James, an internationally best-selling writer of crime fiction, who reflects on another experience unique to authors.
My first started writing full-time, which was in the 90s, and my wife and I bought this remote country house, and she'd go off to work. She was a lawyer, and I'd be sitting there, and I remember not talking to anybody all day long. And the day I actually carried the Hoover across the fields to the repairman in the village to have somebody to chat to at lunchtime, I thought, I need to get a life.
Well, of course, here you do finally get to meet everybody. And as you say, all of your agents, or all of your publishers, rather, from various places. None of the public, though. Does that matter?
No, it's actually good. I love meeting the public, but I do that all the time. I do at least one talk. I'm passionate about supporting independent bookstores and libraries. So around the year, I do at least one talk a week. I do events constantly around publication time. I'm chair of the programming chair of Harrogate Festival this year, so I'll have like 4 days of it. And here you can just talk book promotion and not get sidetracked into, oh, can you tell me about, you know, how do you get the idea for, you know, this is about coming out of the cave, meeting our publishers around the world and giving them thoughts that we've had and telling them what we're planning and getting them excited. This is business.
Peter James talking about business. And finally, the last word goes to my guest here in the studio, Julia Marshall from Gecko in New Zealand. Is it business? Is it worth it in the end?
Oh, it's absolutely worth it. It's absolutely business, but it's also pleasure. It's all about the people.
Julia Marshall, thank you very much for joining me. You've been listening to Meet the Writers. Thanks to the PR team at the London Book Fair, to everyone I spoke to our guest today, Julia Marshall, and of course to Claire Urban, who produced and edited today's show. You can download this and all previous episodes from our website or app, from SoundCloud, Mixcloud, or iTunes. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.